and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebupule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Hey, just before the episode, this is a quick reminder to say if you're hearing this, it means you are not yet a subscriber of the Stretch Podcast. We don't run adverts on the Stretch Podcast. Our focus is on giving great conversations with equally great guests. So our income for the podcast is directly from you, the listener, you, the subscriber. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. In the meantime, you will get a partial episode. We trust that you will love it enough to subscribe. Hey, dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebupule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today, I am in conversation with Tebogo Bundu, affectionately known as Mama T by her students, her clients, her adoring fans. And by me, sometimes I do call her Mama T. Tebogo is the other half of Baba Bundu. You will recall a few months ago, sometime last year, I had a conversation with Baba Bundu. That conversation is on episode 216, and it is titled Why Black Men Disconnect. Now, I'm mentioning Baba to say that both Baba Bundu and Tebogo, for me, play a vital role in the healing and wellness space of Black people, and they've been playing this role for a very, very long time. I stand corrected, but I think Ebukosini is turning 20 years old this year, I think so. And I met them both in 2012 when they had invited me to give a talk on feminism and spirituality. I remember that talk was very, very complex because I was arguing that the deeper we go as women into our spiritual self, the more we will, quote unquote, win the war against patriarchy. I think that was my angle or something like that. And I remember meeting Tebogo for the first time. In fact, I was meeting both of them for the first time in person. Ilohore, I've known them online, you know, because that's how you meet people these days on socials. And I remember just watching her move, watching her embody her femininity. She has this laughter. You know, I always say that I have like a big laugh. Tebogo has a big laugh, and you will hear it because when we start the conversation, I had to press record because we were not going to start the conversation the way we were just talking and laughing. And she just has this big laugh, and people with a big laugh for me says a lot about their hearts. This says a lot about how comfortable they are in their own being and in their own bodies. You know, a woman who laughs out loud for me is a free woman. And she was also equally owning her space because the house was full. You know, I think it was a full house that day. There were probably 30 of us, and in a house, it wasn't a hall or anything. And she was serving us food, and she was just embodied. You know, she's one of those women who are fully, fully present in their bodies. And that's what she teaches her students, that's what she teaches women. And together, you know, Ebukosini solutions for me I don't want to say it's underrated. I don't like to say things are underrated. I don't like that phrase because, I mean, according to who? But I feel like Ebukosini solutions should really be revered more for the work that they're doing for Black families, for Black men and for Black women. So listen to Baba Bundu if you missed it after listening to us. and then see if there's a way that you can connect with them, connect with Teboho, and let's heal our families, guys. Let's do that. Which now brings me to today's conversation. So we are talking African-centered wellness. You know, we are in an era where wellness and healing is like at the tip of everyone's mouth. Everyone is talking about healing, wellness, even in corporate South Africa. And there's an African-centered way of doing it. So in as much as we don't go into the tips, like this is how Africans do it, the conversation is much, much broader than that. It's much, much deeper than that. And because I know that it's Teboho Buntu, my questions are very, very stretchy, very, very broad. I mean, there's this one point where she says the question is a workshop type of question, meaning it needs 2 days to be answered. But it is really just an invitation. This conversation is an invitation for you to look a little bit deeper on your issues. Don't look at them as individual issues only. Look at them as a collective. So as you begin healing, if you are one of those people who are able to afford a coach, who are able to afford workshops and retreats, if you can take someone in your family with, it doesn't have to be your husband, you don't have to drag your husband, but if you could spread the healing so that it reaches your sister, your brother, your cousins, and so on. Because Ebukhosini Solutions and Stretches of This World and other organizations that are in the healing spaces are there to not only help where, and only one, they're meant to really help the entire family, because that's how we begin, that's how we will move beyond where we find ourselves as a Black nation in this country. We need deep, deep healing. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are not subscribed, I would appreciate if you do. The subscription is 99 rands, as you know, and when you subscribe, you listen to full episodes. You also get a bonus episode. But beyond listening to full episodes, by subscribing, you really are supporting our work. Another way to support the work is to just share this episode. Share this episode with someone that you think would enjoy this, would love this type of content. And maybe that someone would be the one that subscribes. So don't just listen. Listen, share it on your socials, share it on your WhatsApp status. Help us spread the word, especially this episode, because it talks directly to our issues as Black people. In the conversation, I mean, we cover a lot. We really cover the single mother-led homes. We cover the work, you know, working in corporate, the conditioning of working. We cover the Black boy, the plight of the Black boy. We cover the dynamics of Black women having more money than Black men. But we go slightly deeper than that. So, you know, it's not a regurgitated, it's not one of those same old conversation that, yeah, we're going to talk about colonialism and apartheid. We actually don't even touch that, which is the beauty of Teboho. We don't even go there. We touch on it very, very briefly. But we bring the conversation to the present, to what's going on now. And we try to bring some solutions. And as usual, with this type of conversations, we leave you with more questions than answers. And I think that's generally the best. If you are left perplexed, asking yourself more questions, then Teboho and I have done a great job. If we left you with answers, then we were a church. Because that's what churches do. You know, churches are just so big on answers. and I think that's the problem. The problem with church is that it begins with answers. What are the questions? What are the questions? Okay, so let me read Teboho's bio and then I will give you the conversation. It's nice and short. Thank you, Tebza. Teboho Buntu Mama T is a community educator, a practitioner with African-centered knowledge and healing. She coordinates holistic health for women, for self-development, generational trauma counseling, and intuitive awakening. And without further ado, I give you my conversation with Mama T. We are laughing already. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast. I think my listeners are used to me by now, so don't worry. So welcome to the Stretch Podcast. And to the listeners, for the listeners' sake, we are laughing because we've had a 30-minute conversation before we hit record. So Tebogo Buntu from Ebukosini Solutions, welcome to the Stretch Podcast, my friend.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Usle.
Why would we get a calm and an okakalam? See, that's more like it. Oh my God. But this is the beauty of people like you and I, of healers. We can, it reminds me of apparently the Dalai Lama, the Desmond Tutu. Apparently, hey, they used to have really, really hard conversations about the state of humanity, the nature of people's hearts, the poverty, the hunger. And then the next minute, like literally the next breath, they would be laughing like nobody's business. And where that concept comes from, which I feel like it's very African, comes from understanding the heaviness of how hard life is, how hard human life is. But then while you get the heaviness, you also can't bear it so much. You need to make it light. And I think that's what we were doing, you and I, in our conversation. Because really, we were hitting very hard notes. And then within a moment, we go really light, which is fascinating because it's the topic of the day, you know, African-centered wellness. So yeah, well, you know, when healers combine, this is how we begin. So how have you been? You know, can you believe that the last time I saw you in person was 2016.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yeah.
That is a long time.
Yeah. 2016. This was, I mean, it's 8 years. Wait,
everything after COVID, it's like, it's ancient. Everything says it's like before. COVID. It's ancient stories and ancient experiences.
I thought I was the only one that feels like that. I would say to my children, for anything before 2020, it feels ancient. Why does it feel like that? What do you think? What do you think it is? What did 2020 do?
I think that moment there, 2020, especially when it comes to closing up things that we never thought life can take that turn. It just changed everything. It changed the perceptions. It moves so many other things. I mean, a lot has changed after 2020, or even the things that happened in 2020. It's some of the things that we never thought they can happen. Mm-mm. When we saw big businesses, for example, that we thought that they were really doing good, there's no way that they can go down. And they went down.
Mm. Yeah.
So it shifted something that for a long time, maybe we were not even aware of. And also, how can level, even some people that have gone, that experience COVID illnesses, they will tell you that after that, they have problem with memory.
But long COVID now.
Some of them, they become slow. They forget about other things. And you can imagine, even us, maybe we don't realize like that, but it's like some things we have forgotten. Like, what are you talking about? When was that? So it created a shift in us in a particular way. That's why maybe it feels so ancient. When we think of our knowledge, we think of it like it's ancient, but at the same time, it's present.
It's present. I mean, 2016 is now, but it sounds like a long time ago. And it's so funny because I feel like 2020 changed time. Like time works very differently. It's 2024 now. I don't believe for it's March. Because it feels very, very quickly. I don't know. I feel like, oh. And I keep with that, a friend of mine, but I feel like, you know, we could just say, oh, 2024, just stop. You're too quick. How does 2024 feel for you, time-wise?
It's fast for me, to be honest.
Yeah,
so fast. And I feel like my view for me is like, when every day, sometimes I go to bed and I realize that in my to-do list, I haven't completed certain things. I'm carrying on to the next one. And the next thing, a week is gone, a month is gone, and I feel like I'm working, but it's like it's slow and fast.
It's slow and fast. That's it. Yeah, no. It's both fast and slow because the days kind of barring, but the days are long, the years are short, something along those lines. But anywho, let's get into it, Watung Teboho. Thank you first of all for agreeing to this conversation. And I've been meaning to have a conversation around African indigenous knowledge systems. And every time I think of indigenous knowledge systems, I think of you, believe it or not.
Really?
So today's conversation for me, really, it's about both indigenous knowledge systems and African-centered wellness, which is something that you specialize in. And I'm not sure where you want to take it or how we're going to start. This is the beauty of talking to healers. You always know where where you want to start. But where I was coming from is that after 2020, as we started, and jobs are being lost, mental health is at its worst. People are unraveled in a way. We are dealing with stresses that we are unprecedented, Deboho. We've never been here before. And when you are in a place that you've never been before, you are forced to look back and to look forward and to look at things that you missed. And I'm very interested in African ways of healing and African ways of being well. So I suppose the first question is, what is being well in an African sense, according to you?
For me, in an African context, understanding of being well is balance. And when I mean balance, is the I mean it in all aspects of your life, your physical, your mental, your emotional, and spiritually, and health. And when you are balanced in all aspects of yourself, then there's wellness. Because if there are some things that are not okay, you feel like you are, if I have to make an example of a scale, it's like you feel like another part of you is down, another part is up. So you bring everything into alignment. And that is why, Obona, when you look at African understanding, they always talk about when they the ancient approach to healing and spirituality, they always talk about the ma'at, which is balance. And balance is the balance of the mind, of the heart, of everything around you. So you move always to ensure that you create balance. And the balance that goes into all aspects of your life, in terms of, I think I like also the understanding that even in your choices, are they good for the better of the whole? It's balance.
Yeah.
It's balance.
Balance.
So balance is the center of African spirituality.
Not too much of anything. So everything is in sort of moderation.
Moderation, because even my art is about moderation. Moderation.
Okay. So for those who don't know you, maybe let's backtrack a little bit. For those who don't know you, who are probably living under a rock, who don't know Pozzini Solutions, I remember meeting you and your husband. I mean, I had your husband on the podcast a few months ago. And I mean, Baba Buntu is famous, more famous than you.
I know. Which is good.
Which is good. It's really good. Yes. I think it's good that one is the front and the other one is the support. I think that's balance, if you know
exactly.
What I mean. It doesn't matter exactly. Which gender, but the point is, so for those who don't know, what are you guys doing with Ebukosini Solutions? What is it about?
Mm-hmm. Thank you again, Lebo. Ebukosini, it's a consultancy that we run with Baba Bunti, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. We do our work. Our work is based on African-centered approach, And we do community workshops, seminars. We do consultation. We do work on research. We create concept for children's programs that are African centered. And another wing of our work is also based on African African family, building of African family structure, and that. For us, it talks to our concern about the dysfunctionality and brokenness of our family, and understanding that the family is a micro of the society. So when our family structures, our family spaces are not intact, the whole society that means is not okay. So that is the work that we do. We are looking at all those issues, but using that African-centered approach for I can just say it in short, that is in a nutshell, we are African-centered educational company
institution. And I've seen that. So speaking of African families, because I mean I think that's where the main wound is, you know, in African families, and you know for a fact that a lot of households are single mother led. And how do we, why is that according to you, and how do we come to terms with that in a way that does not vilify the brother, you know? But why is it that we are here today where a lot of Black families are Black female led, a mother led?
I will take it from here, Lebo. I love to when sometimes engaging with the issues that we have seen as problem within our society. We also look at them at the bigger picture systematically. First and foremost, when we go into understanding that part and parcel of our experiences of our project was to make sure that it dismantled an African family. The reason being that it will make it, when it's weak, it will make it easier for us to continue being oppressed in different ways. Even sometimes we don't realize that. When you talk about right now where we find most of the our African families being led by women, feeling that they don't have a support of their partner. It just started a long time when, first and foremost, when we just took it in a South African context, when you take men from the villages, for example, and you take them to the mines, already you left women alone. And when women were staying there alone in the rural areas, obviously there will be a particular strength that they will develop and start knowing how to run the houses and the household and the children. And then when they come here again in the cities again, women that are those that end up having with their partners in the cities, they still continue to feel that loneliness, because the environment that men works in makes men not to be present with themselves and with their family. So you hear a lot of stories right now of children that keep on saying that, now my father was there but was an absent father. And what does that mean? An absent father, that means it's a father who's not tuned up with themselves. And what causes that for that man to be like that? The environment that they work in make them not even have time for themselves. So they won't have time for anyone, their children and their partners. Right now, women will be finding themselves that even if sometimes they are having partners, that they still pull a whole lot, a lot of heavy weight. And that goes where? That goes into, right now, we are also even in another war. I can call it like that. Another war of immediately again, right now, when you find women also find themselves in a position that they're getting a bit of a leeway of getting opportunity. But we forget that in a deep inside, in our subconscious, in our condition, there's still lingering that part that a man is a provider. But then it's like, this man is not providing. No, now as a woman, it's like you are struggling. How do I create the balance that I talk about? Like, my mind, my beliefs, that are seated in me. My upbringing taught me that a man is a provider. But here is the man who's not bringing things that I feel like he's providing. So you are, again, having means, but still feel like you are alone.
Yeah.
Emotionally and mentally. So it's very complex.
Yeah. I know that it's very complex, and you and I know this, and we've had probably round tables and seminars talking about this. Of, I know that financially I'm maybe stronger than many men who may be my suitors. But then what do I do with that, Deboho? How do I? Because here's the thing that I know as a healer and as someone who's in this space. When you are in a female body and you are not embodying the full aspect of the feminine, and you are constantly in the masculine, as you rightfully put it, or from the villages, we had to develop those skills. Because I get it, the universe does not leave a void. When there is a space for a man and that man is not there, whoever is there will fulfill it. Which takes me to another thing. It will sound like a side note, but it's not. Apparently, there's a type of fish. I think it is salmon. That when there's a population, the population is too many males or too many females. Some of them actually turn and to balance the things out, back to balance again, to balance the scales so that there's males and females. So I think it also happens with us energetically, such that then the women become far more masculine, so that we survive. Now, then I bring it back to here, 2024. I earn a little bit more. You are here. You are not necessarily destitute as a man, and I want to step into my feminine so that I can balance myself, because being in the masculine for a long time is toxic to me as my female body. Young change. In ways that are actually not good for us as a couple. How do we solve that? I know it's a difficult question, but you are a healing woman. What is your sense? How do we deal with this?
I think I will keep on going into this issue, because I think probably this is where most of the time we tend to forget about our conditioning, how we get programmed. And I think the issue that we are talking about, we need new conversation as partners. We looking at where we find ourselves. I'll give an example when I label. If I go out and go and work in a space where I'm going to earn much, I need to have a conversation with my husband. First and foremost, we have to talk about, what does this mean when I earn more than you? How do you feel? What does this thing make you? Tell me. We have to allow to not assume another person is okay when we haven't had that conversation in truth. Then tell me, just how do you feel when I earn more than you? And with that conversation, I think when my husband says that, it makes me feel less of a man. Then it's another work that me and my husband, we have to do for my husband to understand, for him to feel less of a man just because I'm any more than him. He's working with a condition that has been put in place for a long time, that as a man, he has to earn more than me. So we have to change and shift our deep-seated understanding of how we have been shaped to understand certain things. Yeah. After we have that conversation, then we will sit and say, now we find ourselves due to the same injustice that was done in the past, where women were not given these opportunities to be in this position. How do we navigate around that without another one feeling like they are less or they are no longer a man? And even myself, knowing that even when I do this, I still feel I'm in the position that I will have a leaning to my husband. So now we are opening another different chapter of engagement, whereby I say, look, Papa, stay home, take care of the children. I'm going there to get the money. But consciously, we keep on getting in touch to understand that him being home, it doesn't make him a lesser man. He's just the same way, but we understand that strategically, one, we are working with a system that also makes us not to work together.
Yeah.
And like when I'm home, you take care of certain things that they still need one of us to be here. And when
Yeah.
I'm outside, I bring back home. We can continue to even check that we need to create spaces
That
of us every
flexibility.
day, engage. To check, most of the time, we go on and assuming that another person is okay. To the point that, like the same way that we do with our work when a label of making plans, every 3 months, especially when you start with something that we are also not familiar with, to check, are you still okay? Do you see myself just because I'm any more like you, making you unsettled? And he also just tell me that what he sees in me. So we exchange so that we can always have someone that makes you see the things that you don't see about yourself. Because you can change without even seeing that you are changing. But because all you can imagine this man, just because we never have a proper conversation, even understanding how he just feel, it will just come in just one thing that he wants something, and I said no, we cannot buy that, and then he just feel just because I'm the one who's
We're
bringing
making
money, that is why
money.
I'm making these decisions.
So
And it's the same thing when you come to think of it on the opposite, that women, we feel like that all the time. Also, when a man makes money than us, we also feel like that when we want something and this man say no, we feel like we cannot say anything because he's the one who's bringing a lot of money.
Yes.
So it's not like it's different with them, but because
did you love the episode? If you'd like to listen to more, you know what to do. You'd simply have to subscribe. The subscription link is on all of my social media bio. It is also on the show notes right here on this episode and all the other episodes show notes. You simply click on the link and you follow the process, and we will see you on the other side. For now, I wish you love and all green lights, as always.